Hello and welcome to another episode of the Collapsing Game Shelf Podcast. I'm here with
Justin,
Adam,
and Debbie,
and I'm Tom. And this is a podcast where we play some games and then we talk about them. And today we have Dr. Panic.
What happened to this patient?
The better question is, what happened to this game?
He has sewing shit all up in his pharmaceuticals. Yeah. You have to pick everything up with tweezers. That's what happened.
Oh yeah, that's fun. It's a fun little party mini game.
Mini game collection.
Yeah, collection of mini games.
Yep. Yeah.
All right.
That balances chaos with a little bit of a dexterity and some memorization games.
Yeah, Tom, how's about you give us
the rundown?
The how-to explanation.
So, full disclosure, it's been a little while since we played this, and I'm a little hungover, so I may not get everything right. Don't at me.
No, at him.
Don't worry.
At Team Ridge Tom.
We'll help you out, buddy.
Goes directly to Tom's inbox.
The basic... Maybe you should hand me the rules.
This guy right... This isn't even the rules. This is the problem.
Hand me the introduction.
Issues with this already.
I like little quick play tips.
I agree.
They're fun.
But you need to include more than that bunch of crap.
So the object of the game is to complete a series of tasks. You're basically going to set up... the setup... As you separate your party into a bunch of teams of surgeons or doctors or whatever, and you get a little deck of cards that represent different tests that you have to put the patient through. The patient shows up on a little card sort of explaining what their blood type is, height, a few other things that are of importance to some of the tests. And the basic idea is that you need to get through all of these like physical challenges before the timer expires. And that's more or less it. I mean, the overall structure of the game is just you flipping these things over and saying, like, okay, we got to do the X-ray, which means that you have to tent two cardboard pieces together and then, like, pass the card through with tweezers without knocking everything over. And if you manage to do that successfully, you pass the test, you put the card to the side, and then you carry on.
It's like it's organized chaos. It is a game built around.
Yeah, it's a game built around a bunch of littler games that have pretty simple rules, but there's always like a catch. Like, oh, you have to do, you know, there's sort of like a matching game as well. But I think you have to pick everything up with tweezers, mm-hmm. and picking up cards off your table with tweezers fucking sucks.
And the person has to explain them to you.
Sorry?
Your partner has to explain them to you, so you don't actually know what they are.
Right, right. It's like the one that you would sew with, and there's, for some reason, a sewing machine, because that's a doctor tool. Everything in here is just, it's really silly. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, it doubles down on the silliness. It's really silly. And then you also need an app, which has the timer, as well as a series of...
It's a soundtrack, really.
It has a soundtrack, yeah. But there's also, like, sometimes the patient will just have their heart stop, and then you need to all collaborate on another mini game, which is hitting a whoopee cushion while hitting the table, pretending that you're, like, doing what are the paddles called?
Shock paddles.
Defibrillator, yeah. Doing the shock paddle. So you all yell clear, you put your hands up off the table, and then you slam them down again. And if you do that successfully a bunch of times, the app will say, like, did you do it? And then you push the button, you can continue on. Otherwise, I guess they die.
Pretty much.
I think there's also some other events that happen, you know, like a phone will ring and you get like a phone call. And so you have to do something.
That's right. Because your boss calls.
Yeah. Like everybody has to do something because you lost a little bit of budget. Or something along that lines. I mean, we only played the one introductory game, but two?
We played two games. Yeah, we played the introductory.
It was memorable.
It was the introductory one, and then we played a small full-on one.
Which was funny, because you were bending over and trying to, like, make yourself into a shape for me.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that was... Yeah, there was
the x-ray.
Yeah, it's all very physical. It's all very, like, goofy stuff.
It's fun.
It's fun.
I thought it was fun. Yeah. I thought it was hilarious.
But I mean, that's the basic how to. We'll probably go over each of the mini games briefly later during thoughts. But I mean, there's one that involves putting a needle through holes. There's, as we said, like bending yourself into shapes. There's ones where you're like putting pills into a container in the proper way. There's one where you're trying to match shapes up. There's one where you're trying to move a magnifying glass over your body.
Oh, right, that. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
In certain patterns. And and then you get the whoopee cushion, bunch of hairnets. It's all very silly.
It is. But enjoyable. As long as you can laugh at yourself and laugh at the stupidity, it was enjoyable. Unless you're Adam.
What? Okay, I'm not saying that I hate, like, I did not like this game. I'm not saying I full out hated it. This is not another, you know, what Unstable Unicorns. That one was on there. It's definitely not another Level 7 issue, although it does come close. Like, so the problem that we had, and the very first problem we had as a group, the very first problem, you open up the box, you start looking at all the components, everything looks great. Components are actually of decent quality. They look good. They're put together nicely. Everything's wonderful in that regard. And then you pull out the quick play, how to start instructions. And the first thing it says on the instructions is scan this QR code and get our app. You're going to need the app to play. So we scan the QR code with our phone and we came up with nothing. Absolute dead ass nothing.
Well, it wasn't nothing. We found it. We just couldn't figure it out.
No, it wasn't because through the QR code, I found that it wasn't available on the Play Store. But if you search for Dr. Panic app, you get to the app that you can download, but it says that it's in beta.
Yeah.
Like it's not released yet, so it doesn't show up on the thing. And I think scanning the QR code actually takes you to a site that says like, hey, not here anymore.
Yeah.
And then you try to look for the soundtrack and it says, yeah, that's not here either. And so you download the app, you get it on your phone, you're like, why is this, this better be worth it? And it's all in French.
Yeah, which is great. I mean, we are Canadians.
Which is great if you're French.
Yeah, we're Canadians, but that doesn't mean we all speak French.
Yeah, I think we ended up holding Justin's...
Not fluently.
I think we ended up holding Justin's phone over top of my phone.
Google Translate.
To try to figure out which one was which, because we didn't want to like start typing things into Google Translate by hand. It was really funny.
Yeah.
It was weird, though, because like we were looking at how to... we were trying to figure out how to make it English, and you'd set it so that it was at English, and the first page would come up in French. And so we all thought it was in French. And then when I did it on my phone, that first page was French. But then once I clicked on something, it became English. So it's like, for whatever reason, you couldn't make that front facing...
Yeah, the front
like, original
the front page UI designer went on strike before they released the app.
Yeah, yeah. That was 100% in French. Or French? Spanish? French?
French.
French. Yes, it was French. It might have been looking at our location and was like, ah, these guys won't mind.
Canadine.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
What could possibly
be the
problem?
It's a Spanish company, isn't it?
Yeah, Repos.
Repos Games, yeah.
It's a feature of the beta.
Feature.
That is teaching you French?
Yeah.
Well, and the thing about it is, as I look at it here on Board Game Geek, I mean, it shows that it was released in 2016.
Yeah.
So that means that their app has been in development since, I mean, I hope to God, before they actually released this game, which means it's been out for, like, because now, as of this recording, we're halfway through 2019 now, which means, I don't know, let's give them the benefit of the doubt, say it came out around the halfway point of 2016. So it's been in development for three years plus.
Yeah, this is kind of, it speaks to what most people, why most people don't, or maybe not don't like, but are afraid of app-based games, because there is the possibility of the app no longer being available or not running on modern devices. So this kind of speaks to that.
Or if it flopped, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the company's not going to put a bunch of money into refining and finishing and finalizing an app if they only sold
50 copies?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, if they do that, then, sure, we'll put out that beta version and we'll just leave it at that for that odd number of people that are actually going to...
And it does have the soundtrack, which you can use, basically like those old CD games or VHS games for those that are...
Ah, the VHS
games. Really old.
what are you calling me?
Not a child anymore, like the rest of
that's
us.
That's fair, that's fair.
You just need to find the heart of a child to enjoy Dr. Panic.
So is that where I went wrong?
So the heart of the child thing, actually, I find it interesting that you say that, because there's one thing that I really liked about this game that I found really amusing that I don't know if anybody else necessarily really picked up on beyond myself. The names of all the patients are, they're meant to like, to point at like Disney characters and things like that. Like there's one that was aimed for Frozen. Elsa Blue, I think, is what the name of the character
is. Wasn't
there
also Daenerys Targaryen?
No.
No, there wasn't. I thought there was.
No, I don't think so.
But they were kind of all pop culture references.
Yes, and they're all like kids. Well, no, I guess Ryan Private is in here.
Yeah, Ryan Private. There's Rosewell, who happens to be an alien, right? Spinoff on Roswell. Frank. There's like Frank.
Enstein.
But I think that's good because it feels like a game geared towards multiple age groups, or if you're a parent playing with your kids, you know, that way you, like a lot of good children's shows, there's always a little bit of element dedicated to the older watcher that has to sit through this.
Sure.
Yeah, you need something that'll appeal to any age group.
Yeah. And you, as a kid, I mean, you're going to engage a child, especially a little girl, I hate to say it, but if you see Elsa, right, a little picture of Elsa from Frozen, and you're like, I need to save Elsa. I mean, really, obviously that's going to happen. But I liked that. They can't, obviously, they can't, they have to watch their copyright P's and Q's. And so. Yeah,
you didn't see a Mickey Mouse on there.
No.
Hey, maybe that's why the app's not available anymore.
Well, they have Willy Free. Willy Free is pretty, I mean, that's, well.
Maybe they just got so many cease and desists because of all of their names that they're like, we gotta stop development on this app before it's even done. One thing I found that was kind of interesting and not in a good way was at the end of the game, it very, very strongly prompts you to post your success or failure to Facebook. Now, I don't know about the rest of you, but I have not gone onto my Facebook in months. And I know for some of us, it's probably been even longer than that. And again, like, I think it's kind of the wrong way to go about it to really throw that in someone's face. But like, hey, push this up on Facebook. Like, it's like it runs along the same lines, at least in my opinion of what this is. This is my opinion at For the Win. Fill my inbox. I don't give a shit. Is like, it's the same thing as the old Farmville requests that used to flood my Facebook thing until I just got so sick of it. That's a big part of, well, that's not a big part, but that is a part of why I stopped using Facebook. Cause like, I don't give a shit about your Farmville or your what Words with Friends or your, any of those other games on Facebook. I don't give a damn.
Yeah. Justin.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And I don't want to be posting things. And I said, especially when you get to the victory or failure screen and it's like 3/4 of the screen is like, hey, post this to Facebook. And then you have to go searching for the, never mind, don't post this to Facebook button kind of thing.
But okay. So in their defense, the one thing that I'm going to give you is that, given the time of when this app would have been in development, it was 2016, which would have been around the time that you had all that Farmville crap going on.
Sure.
So at the time, it was they did it because that was the thing to do, right? Like at the time, that's how you got your money, that's how you got your attention, that's how you got kids interested and involved in this kind of stuff. So yeah, now maybe it's annoying and it's stupid, but I think for them at the time when this app was in development, it makes sense.
Yeah, it's a good, if misguided, marketing decision.
Extremely,
I feel like,
misguided.
Where, you know, they want people to hear about it, and then you want to, you know, tell your friends and get them to buy it. You know, it's an obvious kind of marketing decision, and, you know, without getting political or anything, especially with, like, you know, all the weird stuff going on with Facebook nowadays, it's maybe not a great idea.
Yeah, very, very much so. I mean, like, I agree with the general statement that's been said that if you are playing this with a younger audience, with, I don't know, I mean, what would you say, like, maybe like a 8-year-old and up, maybe possibly even a touch younger,
12.
I think
it, are
I think
they it, out of it at 12?
Well, no, I think at 8 a child could handle this.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day,
I'm a child of 33 and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm a child of 36. But at the end of the day, I mean, the components are big. Like they're big and clunky, which
very tactile. Like very they all feel tactile. Good.
Yeah. Like, I mean, they're well developed. There's a good amount of production quality that has gone into these components. And like I said, they're big. It's not like you have to worry about a little small die or a little piece of cardboard go flying off the table and you just can't lose it. Like it'll be damn hard to try and lose something out of one of these. The only thing that you might be able to lose is maybe one of the pills. And even then, I'd say that the pills are about as wide as a...
They're about as big as a thumb.
I'd say so. Yeah. Right? Like, I mean, you know, the components are of a good size. The cards are big. They're built... Like the cardboard is thick. They're not going to just get ruined in short order. I think if you're playing this with a younger audience, if you are playing this with your kids, that's great. But for our play group of 30 somethings, it fails to hit the mark, which is what this podcast is about. It's about a bunch of 30 somethings getting together to play board games.
Fucking old people. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I resent being called old.
Older? Old as shit, are you kidding me?
Older than an 8-year-old.
Definitely older than an 8-year-old. I think that the game is an interesting attempt at combining, you know, a little bit, like a little subtle bit of strategy. Try that again. It is an interesting attempt to get a little bit of strategy mixed in with a dexterity game.
Mm-hmm.
But again, some of the stuff that it asks you to do, for example, pick up cards with tweezers off of a relatively smooth wooden table, because not everybody has a board gaming table from Wheatland Woodworking.
or even just a neoprene mat or something.
Or a neoprene mat or anything like that. It's like trying to get these tweezers under those cards on a table that isn't padded.
It doesn't work. Every single one of those, or trying to pick them up with one hand, it was pushing them to the edge of the table.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and then that's what you do. You kind of like weasel it to the edge of the table, and then you're like, okay, gotcha. Yeah.
It was the same if you're trying to do the MRI thing and you have to build a little house of cards to put the card through. Yeah, on a smooth table, you're going to have a lot of fun.
It's just going to be tricky. Yeah, it's just going to be tricky. And maybe that's the intent.
I think it definitely is. Like, it is definitely one of those games where half of the mini games involve doing something physical that, you know, is funny, either by, you know, struggling trying to pick up a card, you know, you can kind of all laugh at, yeah, that's really hard, or having to make some sort of weird structure with your body based on descriptions that you're getting from your partner.
Sure.
You know, It's a lot of that physical humor.
Super interesting. While we're sitting here, I'm playing with these tweezers. Super smart on their behalf. I think they have actually built these in a way that you can't really hurt anybody with them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like just
there's
bend,
you can only
back?
Squeeze them so hard because of the way that they're shaped.
Oh.
If you try to squeeze them, it causes them to
open. Yeah, it bends off.
Yeah. And so you don't actually end up being able to really
pinch your friends?
Yeah. I mean, you can. Like, it
Stop
works.
Stop pinching your brother.
But it doesn't do anything. Like, it doesn't cause any harm, which is actually quite smart.
Stop pinching me, Matt.
Yeah. I just noticed that, and I find that quite intelligent.
That's a good idea. Because I could definitely see that happening. I mean, it also keeps you from doing
this doesn't hurt, right? See? She runs around fucking pinching everyone in the room.
Yeah, I know, right?
Well, I tried
does this hurt?
Tried out my husband first very carefully, thinking, man, maybe I'm wrong, maybe it's just me, but no, I did it.
And ow!
Maybe I'm just hard as nails.
That's right.
Well, if anybody's gonna scream, come on now. It's Adam. I'm just kidding.
The guy covered in tattoos.
Yeah.
He's real sensitive. Imagine him going to the park for 2 hours.
Okay, so the guy doesn't like needles.
I don't really care for needles, but I don't mind tattoos. Trust me, I get it. It's weird, but there's lots of people who are in the same boat as me, so fuck all of you.
Okay.
Yeah. Man.
Right, got there.
Now we'll go on to our second podcast about irrational fears and how to address them.
Welcome to the Irrational Fear Podcast. My name is Adam, and I am scared of needles.
I got a laundry list of things here. Let me start.
Jeez. Yeah, no, for this game, like, I think that... I don't think you could play very much of it. I don't think that you can play very many of these without being like, okay, I'm done. But the organized chaos of it is definitely lighthearted. Mm-hmm. And it definitely kind of allows you to be weird and silly and do stupid stuff just because you quote unquote have to, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Tom and I think we're giggling pretty hard. His son was sitting with us, and he thought we were a little weird for what we were doing. Which kind of, you know.
Yeah, when you're getting side-eyed by a two-year-old, it's not a...
You're acting really weird there.
That's an interesting feeling, for sure.
I also like how it kept to theme the whole time, whereas I think the first game we reviewed, the Dice Hospital.
Yep.
That
was the second game we reviewed.
Was that the second game?
We did Near and Far first.
Oh, right.
Oof, that was a humdinger.
But that one had it felt like it was having trouble finding that line between parody and satire.
Yeah.
Where it maybe got a little real sometimes. But whereas this maintains that silliness, you know, you have this giant silly needle, you have this giant big tweezers, all the medical equipment are like weird. You know, hospital hammers, yeah, like everything is silly while still being relatable rather than being, you know.
Yeah, the only weird thing was your patient's dying. Like I don't feel like children would really understand the fact that they're listening to a heartbeat, right? Because like while you're playing the game, the soundtrack is running a heartbeat. So it's like, right? And it's a timer, like it's a fancy way of making a timer, which I can appreciate. But then all of a sudden it's like the answer the phone thing was hilarious to me. It's like all of a sudden the phone's ringing and you're like, what the?
Yeah, you have to run to the door and to sign for the package.
Yes.
It's like something really stupid just to kind of throw you off. But then all of a sudden it's like, oh no, your patient's flatlining and you have to like do heart compressions and stuff. And I'm like, okay, wait a second. Like,
yeah, now that you mentioned that is a giant leap from theme, I guess.
It's just like you're.
I think they lose understanding at that point.
Yes.
Right? Like, I think that's just. It's
maybe a little too real.
Yes. Like it's taking something very serious and you're trying to make it funny. But if you don't really understand what that serious thing is, it's very hard to make it funny. So it was funny for me, but I've also seen probably 200 people getting chest compressions in my life.
You've seen some shit in your life?
So for me, it was, I don't know. But for kids, I can't see that being...
Yeah, I think they would have fun in having to press the whoopee cushion. Like they would have a lot of fun with all the actions involved without actually fully understanding what's going on.
Yeah.
Little Elsa is dying.
Yeah.
And also, like, I don't know that a child, like, one of the mini games is like this this building this injection thing. So you have to take certain amounts of certain drugs and then put, you know, like the basically the tip of a needle is a cardboard cutout. So you put a tip of the needle on one end and you put the plunger of the needle on the other end. And then you fill the middle with like these cards that are representing, according to the sheet, Maxeltose, Penistrit, and Clafutilol.
Get me 5 cc's of Clafutilol.
I don't know that those are real.
Well, they probably aren't. I don't think they are. I don't think they are real, but I'm just saying, like, if you
the
had
one
a younger...
is a riff on penicillin, I think. And
yeah.
Well, and Maxaran and Carvedilol, maybe?
Maybe.
Sure.
I'm sure they're kind of a weird...
As we spin off into our medical podcast.
No, but it's the same thing as the names, right, of the characters. Like, they took the names of the characters and they kind of, like...
You change
and
them.
That might be it. But think about it for a second. So that sheet that you hate so much that has the introduction game, it doesn't have that bit.
No, I get that.
And
it
doesn't have that. It doesn't have the sewing game.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if it's taking the kind of the more complex...
I think that's exactly what it was doing, because... This one, I mean, they're basically color-coded as well. You don't need to say, you know, I need 5 plus Clafutilol.
Sure.
You can just say, I need 5 blue, 4 orange, and 3 green.
I get that.
So it has that good element, and because the way you can build up the challenges, you're able to just take it out.
Yep.
So if you know, you know, if you're playing with younger children who aren't going to be able to do the math or count the numbers or know what to look for, you just take it out.
Well, it's kind of what I'm wondering, you know, like while we're kind of sitting here and talking about it, I'm wondering if they've almost added a, like almost like an education bit into this, right? So for the medications, for the pills, the pill container all has time on it, right? And they're all in half hour intervals, right? And so getting your kid and telling them you need to put these colors in this time, right? So being able to recognize your times and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
The medications are weights and heights, right? And being able to do your body parts, so the using the magnifying glass on the different parts of your body, and like I think that there's things that they were trying to do with this that almost make sense to me. I think that they were trying to put in some educational pieces into this that you can learn about that I can actually appreciate now that I'm thinking about it. I mean, it's a stretch. I don't know if they actually got there, but if that's what they were trying to do, kudos to them, because I think that they actually, they're on the right track of making a mechanism of a fun game where you can laugh and you can make fun of things and you can do stupid and silly things. But then as an adult, you can also teach your children like educational things, right? Like,
I mean, no, I totally agree. And even with the stitches, you know, that way, you know, it could be a fun way to teach.
Dexterity.
Oh, or no, just like, you know, oh, you know, Billy had to go get some stitches. And it's like, oh, do you know what those are? It's like, oh, that's like in the doctor game, you know, he had to get the needle and stuff.
Yeah.
Or, you know, oh, he had to go get a shot, you know, kind of like with the doctor game. You can only give so much or something, or grandma needs her pills at 5. You know, there's a lot of things that are transferable knowledge, and there's a lot of numbers and explanation. So I totally agree.
Yeah. Like, maybe I might just be fishing. Absolutely.
I mean,
like,
yeah.
I could easily be fishing. But with that being said, I also think that maybe that's just something that they might have fallen into.
Yeah, it might have been a happy accident.
Yeah.
And that's not a good thing if it's just a... Oh, well, we happily accidentally managed to put some education in this game.
I don't know. It's that.
Hey, man, a win is a win.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's a lot of good things happen by accident. You know, you just, especially I think with design, you might be having one idea and it just doesn't work, but maybe you just accidentally write down the rule wrong and it's like, oh, hey, this is actually fun.
Yeah. Good call.
Like Gloomhaven and our summons accident.
Yeah.
Made that much more fun.
Sure. What?
You had an accident with your summons? Are they peeing on the floor? Or?
Oh. You remember to house train your summons.
You
gotta
house train those summons, you know.
Tom, are you gonna tell us what you
I mean, I don't. You guys mostly went over what I would mentioned anyway. It's like most of the stuff is real dumb, big and chunky, and you know, it's stupid fun. I mean, I don't. There's not a lot for, like you say, you know, group of 30-year-olds to get out of this, other than maybe if you're drunk. It was a good time. Like, I don't regret doing it, like some things. Looking at you, unstable unicorns. You know, I wasn't bored. I was confused sometimes, and it was a little, it was panicky, you know. It's pretty fun. I mean, there's not much else to say about it, really. I'm kind of interested to see how it would go with when my kids get older. Because like you say, I think it would be like maybe accidentally educational as well as, you know, just a pretty good time with them. I mean, the kids would, I mean, he'd probably love playing with his shit now outside of the box. So yeah.
He was having a lot of fun playing with all the cards.
Yeah. Yeah. He was really helping us out. Yeah. That was great. But other than that, I mean, some of the challenges are more fun than others. The ones where you're just like matching stuff up is kind of like, you know, it's all right. But, you know, bending yourself into weird shapes is always a good time. What the hell? I feel like you're insinuating something here, Debbie.
Well, it depends on the shape there, Tom.
Play this game with your friends naked. That's what I'm saying.
Hey.
Well,
That would be Twister.
Party, yeah.
Take that one. No more naked Twister. Now just naked Dr. Panic.
Twister, a reason for people to grind up against each other since what, 1965, I think.
Yeah, about that.
We'd probably have to check with timelines for that one.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, when did Twister first come out? Timelines get at me.
Yeah, other than that, I mean, I'm kind of interested to see what other. I would be interested to see what other surprises it has, because anytime you have something that has an app and like a bunch of cards where just like some thing comes out, like we didn't look through any of those, so I don't know if there's any like interesting surprises in there. So anytime you have some third party application that's telling you to do things, there's really no limit to the dumb thing they can get you to do. Like, it's not just whatever's contained in the box. So I'd be kind of interested to see what else is in there. What
kind of disturbances you can have during your
surgery.
Yeah,
I mean, that. I've heard that there's some really interesting ones from another website. Websites, have you heard of them? No. There's when you have that sort of thing, it only just makes it a potentially better or more expansive experience when you can have just people coding stuff into the game, so they don't have to like mail you a bunch of shit to make it work. But we'll have to see, because I don't think Adam will want to play this one again.
I'm not saying I wouldn't play it again. It's not something I'm going to rush to the shelf to grab. I'll tell you that right now.
We can do this one on your stream.
I could.
Ooh.
That'd be tough. You'd have to have cameras set up all over the damn place.
Yeah, that would,
and that's why we depend on your support. the pledge drive that we are opening up right now. No, was there anything else anyone wanted to say about this in general?
At the end of the day, what do we think about this?
Is it a consensus thing now?
Well, yeah, absolutely.
I thought that it was a.
It's an individual thing.
It seemed like it was an every person for themselves with their own customized rating system.
Well,
before.
And you know what? That's what it is, and it's like how odd is that? But Justin, I'd really love to hear from your like 5 out of 7.
5 out of 7 multiple thumbs up, down, or sideways.
Yeah,
yeah. What degree of thumbness?
Yeah.
I think in general, it's a good. I would recommend this. With maybe a bit of a caveat, like I wouldn't recommend this to most of my friends without any of my friends really without children. This is definitely a game geared towards a younger audience who are going to have maybe a little bit more fun doing that weird dexterity game or trying to tell their friend to no, put the needle in the yellow hole.
If you know what I mean. What?
What? Exactly. Because I enjoyed this. I thought it was pretty fun, but it's also, like Adam said, not a game I would just pull out of my shelf over most other party games. But it was still enjoyable playing through it. It wouldn't be the first game to pull out. I would never buy this because I don't have children or hang around with a lot of young children. So, yeah.
I think that's for legal reasons, Justin.
So, yeah, no, like, I think it's a great game it's mildly educational, great with kids, but I wouldn't recommend it if you're 30 years old and into a lot of heavy Euros and you have a small player base group. What do you want to say, Adam?
I think he was just putting up his hand that you were
you're describing me.
You were saying that at him.
Yes, you pretty much were. I am a 30-something that loves heavy Euro games and has a fairly small, consistent play group.
Yeah, and same with myself. Like, that's, you know, that's why I said, you know, I would not buy this game. But, you know, I think it's fun, and I think it has an audience, for sure.
Sure.
So, how does that fit into your rating?
That's a recommendation to a younger audience.
So what he's trying to say? Let me try.
Wasn't there thumbs involved?
Oh yeah, though? No. That's why I was going to say. Let me try leading up to that. Hold thumb on, up.
I just put it into Google Translate and set the language to Justin speak, and I think what came out is if you are talking to someone with a younger audience, something with children, someone that has children.
Do you own a daycare?
Then at that point, it would probably come in with a thumbs up recommendation. But if you are someone who likes who is in a 30 something who likes older Euro, who likes Euro games, heavier Euro games, and has a small play group, it probably comes with more of a thumbs down recommendation.
It's a sideways. I don't think you would ever give it a thumbs down.
No.
No, he wouldn't give it two thumbs down.
No.
No, I wouldn't give this I wouldn't give this a thumbs down. I couldn't.
Overall, if you're an older guy or older group, fun. It's still dumb fun.
Silly, dumb fun.
If you were pretty drunk, this would be all right.
Oh yeah, no. If you're drunk and trying to do these weird dexterity games, and your friends trying to tell you to get into some weird poses, you can have a good time.
And
you fall over and your head's in
the garbage can. Yeah, great. Good time.
No, that's what I mean. Like, it's overall based on just its design, and was it fun? It's a thumbs up. Just with the recommendation side of things, I have to give that caveat that it is geared towards a younger audience. So if you just have like a 4-person player group and you're not really into silly humor or like weird dexterity games and kind of laughing at each other, you're not going to enjoy it. And that's about it. But all in all, like, it's good quality. The main negative, as we brought up before, is the problem with trying to find the app. But otherwise, yeah, it's good, silly, goofy fun.
The app is definitely a big problem. I think that is the biggest problem, especially because the app is essentially mandatory. Essentially.
But it essentially worked.
Right, but I mean, there's a big... Like, I don't know how many people are going to open up the app, see that most of it is in French, and be like, okay,
let's
maybe
try
not.
It anyhow.
Yeah. Like people are going to shy away from it. I mean, at the end of the day, I have this thing jotted down as a 5 out of 10. Like, the game's fine. It has a place. It has a place with a younger audience. I think, like, for someone like Tom who has 2 kids, as his kids get older, this is a game that they could definitely play with. And like I said before, the components are big, they're heavy, they're thick cardboard, they're not going to get broken real easy. The cardstock is decent. The plastic tweezers are made so that you can't really harm anyone with them. With that being said, you know, as a 30-something-year-old, I'm just going to repeat what Justin said again. As a 30-something-year-old that prefers heavier Euros, that's my MO. I love that shit. Bring it to me all day long. The heavier, the better. Like, as somebody who appreciates that, then this game is just not for me. It's not my cup of tea. It's not. I personally, if I was looking for a party game, I could probably come up with something. Well, in fact, I know I could come up with a couple of things off the top of my head that I would rather play in a party scenario. If you wanted to play a dexterity game, again, same thing. I could probably come up with something that I would rather play than this. With that being said, it's not a terrible game. Like, it's not unplayable. It's just not for me in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah. And yeah, no. I think you hit the head on the nail there, and that's why I agreed. Like,
the head on the nail. You hit the head on the nail.
The nail on the head. You hit the nail on that head.
Let me
mix my metaphors for a little while.
That's what I thought you said.
That's right. You take the nail and you hit yourself in the head with it, and then you got to go to the doctor.
Then you play Dr. Panic. Yeah, yeah.
Then you got to play Dr. Panic. Yeah, yeah. That's. Yeah.
Wow.
You just cut everything I just said there because it was all garbage.
Absolutely not.
Debbie?
Well, I thought it was fine.
No, yeah, that's what I was saying.
I legitimately thought it was fun.
Yeah, no, it is.
You hit
the
head on the nail right there, yeah.
It is. It's good. It's good, goofy fun.
Not bad. Pretty good.
Yep.
Those are always my reviews. That's all right.
I gave this, and I'm with the same caveat. If I am blindly giving this a rating, I give it a 4 out of 5. It's not for longevity. It's not for regular play. It's not for adults coming together and playing this every weekend. It is definitely not for that, but for what it is, absolutely. If you get the chance to play it, because really, it was funny. It was funny. Will I remember Tom making it very weird and yelling at him to change the way that he's standing? Yes, I will remember it. And it is funny, and that's all there is to it, right? It was very frustrating at the beginning because we were trying to read through and figure out how to play it, and we were like, what is going on? Like, this is stupid. I cannot imagine anybody that has children that pulls this out. Okay, let's figure this out, kids, because you're not going to figure it out. Because it took 4 adults a while to get it figured out. The app thing was annoying. But really, if you're anything like me and you're just willing to just be like, okay, let's try it anyhow, and you click on something and all of a sudden everything comes up in English, guess what? You got over it. It's fine. It was worth it. It was funny. I found it amusing. So I give it a 4 out of 5. With the caveat that it is not, it's not something you're going to be pulling off your shelf to regularly play to challenge your brain, because that is not what it is. Yeah. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was funny. I think, yeah. Oh, I'm a child inside. What can I say?
Yeah, yeah. It's a fun, funny game. It's just not a mind teaser for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's putting it lightly. I mean, for my part of it, it's not one I'm going to throw out. It was funny enough, and it's got a definite place in my house for the future when I try to subject my children to this before getting them into other things. Yeah, I mean, it's just dumb fun. I mean, there's definitely party games that are more focused. Party games are probably better if you're wanting to just bust something out to play with your friends. I mean, there's probably too many like mini games in here that are too disparate that they're not very cohesive at all, and it takes up like a shitload of room for a party game. Mm-hmm. You basically need like the whole table. So it's not efficient by any means, and there's definitely games that are like a game like Telestrations is just as easy to pull out and have people throw a stupid book around and draw some dumb pictures that'll get people laughing in shorter order. But I mean, all in all, it's, you know, like you say, I like the points of it being mildly educational, even if by accident. So I think it definitely has a place in my collection. Just not with these losers. Hey.
That loser.
Yeah, not with that loser. Yeah, sorry.
Whoa.
You're right, Debbie. Debbie would play it again.
I would definitely play it again as well.
Yeah.
I never said I wouldn't play it again. I just said that I'm not running out to go get it.
Well, why would you? I already have it.
Exactly.
Yeah. We're just giving you a hard time.
That's why there's
rude.
3 copies of Gloomhaven among 3 of us.
Yeah, right.
God damn, do I love Gloomhaven. That game is.
We can talk about that later. Plugs, Debbie, go.
You can find me at Mrs. Wynn. Oh my goodness, sorry. Not take, drop take my pen down.
Let's retry
sometimes.
That.
You can find me at Mrs. Wynn, that's MRSWHYN, on Oh, what's it called?
The Twitterverse.
The Twitter. That's right. You can also find us as a group at CGS Podcast. I will look at those, I promise. Every once in a while, I'll probably punt them over to Tom if you're being really mean and, I don't know, something needs to be done about it.
I can't handle criticism. I think we all know that.
I will take care of all your stuff. We also actually have a team email address. We have collapsinggameshelf@gmail.com. I will also keep an eye on that and make sure that if there's anything you guys want to see or hear, you let us know. That's you, Adam.
Oh, cool. Twitter, Instagram, @ForTheWin. That's FORTHEWHYN. Twitch, streaming like a demon, twitch.tv/ForTheWin. Website, ForTheWin.com. That could be where you found this podcast, as the podcast is, of course. You can find it on that website as well.
And myself, I don't really have any social media handles.
You need to fix that.
Well, maybe
you
I will.
Probably don't.
I mean, if you want to get a hold of me, just use the collective Gmail and or Twitter handle, because I'll also be checking that out as well. And if enough people want to get a hold of just me, I'll get myself a Twitter handle.
You're going to have a following.
Oh, sounds joyous. That's delightful.
One's a following, you know.
My number one fan.
Yep.
Tom, what do you
think? There are dozens of us.
I was going to say yourself. Does that count?
Maybe it does. You can find me at Team Rage Tom if you need to get a hold of me specifically for some reason. Other than that, just use the team handles and we'll do what we can to get at you, I guess. I don't know how that makes... Does that sound cool?
I'll deal with that.
Yeah. Looking at the...
That sounds real cool.
Judges
man.
Say yeah.
Looking
yeah.
at you.
Judges are saying yeah. I'm super cool now. If you want to do us a favor, like and subscribe this podcast on whatever your catcher happens to be. Give us a sweet rating and some feedback. Share it with a friend or share it with somebody that you think might like this, and that'll really help us out in the future, make this sort of a more sustainable project.
Yeah, and I think we can all agree that we appreciate any feedback you have. Try to keep it constructive, but, you know...
I hate the sound of your voice.
Yeah, there's not much I can do about that, except for maybe, you know, try out some weird accents every episode.
Oh, my God.
Oh, please don't.
Don't.
Do not, not encourage that.
If anyone's going to have a problem with it, it's going to be me. So yeah. It's not going to be you.
Throw any any criticisms you have or just any helpful thing that you want more of, because we'll try to fit that in if we can.
Or if you suggest a game. I'm going to say that judging from the wall of board games I have in front of me, there is a decent chance that it belongs here.
Well, and, at least one of us owns it.
Yeah,
for sure.
Or one of us owns it. So probably, let us know. Yeah. If there's something that you guys want to hear, let us know. Or something you think that we should try, give us a shout, let us know, and we'll do what we can to get on that.
Yeah, so what are we doing next week? I guess we've already played Menu Master, so...
I think that's up. Because I know we talked about it on the last episode that Menu Masters was due.
And we thought talking about Dr. Panic might take not that much time. And yet here we are. I'm looking at the over an hour of random yammering. So we did it, guys.
Hey!
We did it.
Perfect.
So next time we'll get at you with Menu Masters. A little game about... cooking?
Building a menu?
A menu.
Look, the tagline says 3 courses, 4 stars, maximum fun.
Dun, dun, dun. That's all I got.
Alright, cue the ambulance. Let's get the hell out of here.
Yeah, so next week we'll have Menu Masters for you. Stay safe, have fun.
And play some board games.
Bye.
Bye.
See you all later.